Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Joe Gann, health reporter, social services reporter here at the Jefferson City News Tribune. Welcome, Joe.
Well, hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, it's for listeners, it's a bit of an odd situation here at the News Tribune. We are working in three different spots as part of our response to COVID-19, the coronavirus. I'm here in the newsroom. It's a deserted newsroom. Joe is working from home, and engagement editor Nicole Roberts, who does the engineering work on this podcast, is at home as well. So hello, Nicole.
Hi.
All right. So we're going to jump in. We thought this was a good opportunity to just get folks up to date on coronavirus. And so, Joe, you're kind of the point of the spear in much of our coverage when it comes to health and social services. So what is coronavirus and what are some of the symptoms of it?
Well, coronavirus is this particular form of coronavirus, this novel form, is called COVID-19. It was first discovered in a province in China in November. Health experts suspect that it was a virus that was in animals and was transferred to humans in an animal market, a live animal market in China at some point. Though its actual exact location of start is a little uncertain. This particular virus poses a little bit more of a threat for elderly people and people with severe underlying health issues. And lately, the CDC has been warning that folks with asthma and pregnant women should take extra precautions to avoid it as well. The symptoms seem to be shortness of breath and fever, mild fever. Now, it can be a mild illness for most people, but for those who it affects severely, it's deadly.
And it sounds like it can escalate relatively quickly.
And the thing is, I've seen reports that it can show symptoms in 2 days up to 14 days. So you can show symptoms really quickly, or they may be sometime down the road. So it's pernicious.
Okay. So if you're feeling sick, Joe, what should you do?
Well, monitor your symptoms. Right now, we're kind of in the overlap with the seasonal flu season. And that should continue into mid-April. I think Dr. Randall Williams, the state health department director, mentioned yesterday at a press briefing that he expects the seasonal flu to start dwindling as it normally does in mid-April or so. But at that same time, COVID-19 will continue to expand. And so he said yesterday, actually, on Wednesday, that after about mid-April, if you start to feel a fever and some shortness of breath and maybe a headache, you should maybe consider getting a test for COVID-19.
Okay. So now some of the symptoms I've heard, I mean, what kind of fever are we talking about? Is it 100, 104? I mean,
it's a mild fever, 100.
100?
100, 101, something like that, I think, is what it's been reported at sometimes.
Some of the reports I'd seen on social media said 104, and I mean, that to me is almost death there. So
yeah,
that's odd. Trust your sources of information there, right?
I think that, well, certainly it's going to affect different people in different ways.
Right.
So
I've heard that the symptoms of shortness of breath, almost to me, it almost sounded like a heart attack, you know, tightness of your chest and things like that. So seriously, you don't want to ignore those symptoms.
No. But here's what you should do, I think, when you do suspect that you may have the illnesses. First, don't go to the emergency room unless you're in severe health and have a severe health concern. What hospitals recommend is that you call your healthcare provider and tell them your symptoms. Now, they may do what they call a screening and ask you where you've been and what your symptoms are and those sorts of things. And they may move that along a little bit, but they may be able to rule out the COVID-19 virus.
Just
over the phone.
Yeah.
But if they decide you need a further evaluation, they'll probably set up a time and place for you to go. Certainly, if you feel like you have COVID-19 and you're thinking about going to the emergency room, please call them ahead of time so they can prepare, because they want to make sure that if you do have it, that it doesn't spread to healthcare workers and to other patients.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important aspect there that you bring up, that they're encouraging you to not just show up because you stand the risk of infecting people needlessly, and this allows them to be prepared and to handle the case and minimize the risk to yourself and others.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And, you know, once you are there physically and getting checked out, they may determine even then that you don't have the disease and ask you to maybe go home and quarantine yourself for 14 days. I have a friend who has been asked, who traveled to Florida, came back about a week ago and felt a little ill, and the doctors told him to quarantine for 14 days. And they did not do a test on him. And there's a process for doing the test as well.
Okay. All right. So what kind of, what is the process? Do you know how they do the test?
Well, I think it's going to vary site by site. I know that, for instance, the mobile test labs that have set up in Boone County, they're requiring a doctor's recommendation, an identification for you, and health insurance, or a form that says you have health insurance, which I'm a little concerned about because I think federal government's going to be paying for all the testing as it goes. But
yeah. So the actual test itself is like a nasal swab. Is that right?
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
All right.
And each of the testing locations. So for example, if I feel like I have COVID-19 and I want a test, I think I may need a test, I'll contact my healthcare provider, maybe St. Mary's Health Department. And if I do get the test, they will send it to a lab who will process it and get the return. You get the information returned to them. It may be 36 hours. I don't know. I think it depends on the lab, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that kind of goes into my next question. So, what resources are local and state forces deploying in the wake of COVID-19? So some of them is obviously testing sites or labs here in the state. But what's been the approach of local, county, state government to this?
Well, I think they're leaving it up to the individual health providers to set up their lab or their test sites, excuse me, which they are doing. St. Mary's Hospital is setting up a test site. I know that CAP Region has plans for a test site. I know that Lake Regional has already got a tent set up in their parking lot for a test site. Now, and as for government's involvement, the governor yesterday said that the National Guard will be supporting up to 500 mobile test sites throughout the state. So they'll help set them up and get them going.
Yeah, so kind of lay out what the governor had to say yesterday. He's been conducting at least once a day daily briefings on the state's response. What are some of the things that they shared yesterday at the, I'm kind of dating this podcast a bit. Today's Thursday as we're recording this. So what did he have to share with us yesterday about how the state's doing?
He emphasized yesterday that we should take personal responsibility and not hold large gatherings. I think a week ago, the state asked that people not hold gatherings of 50 or more. Mm-hmm. I think the CDC is now saying 10 or more. And I think people are adhering to that. We see a lot of the businesses that are closing to keep people from gathering at their businesses, from having large crowds.
Yeah. Sort of things. Or adding like curbside service, or restricting access. So it's not just walk into the building and potentially infect people, whether they're at a production facility or at a restaurant or whatever.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, I see that I saw some reports this morning that some grocery stores are now holding hours where they have only customers who fall within those high risk categories of
right.
death from the disease. So, for example, Hy-Vee from 7 to 8, I think, is the hours, only allows old people like 70 or older, people with underlying health conditions, those sorts of things, to come in and shop. So they don't have to interact with people who are healthier and younger.
Right. I was really struck by his emphasis on remaining calm about this, that they're, we will get through this, but it's a marathon, basically. It's not a sprint here. And we just need to be, as you say, socially responsible and exercise good judgment.
But he also said that people should have a solid personal or family plan to deal with the illness. So, for example, they should already be using social distancing, which is basically staying with, 6 feet from people or more when possible. But also on top of that, as part of their personal and family plans, they need to have ideas about, where they're going to keep sick people in their homes, how they're going to get things into their homes or out of their homes, who they're going to have available as contacts in emergencies, who they can rely on to provide products for them if they need them, and things like that. So part of that, and I'm working on a story for Friday's newspaper about the CDC's guidelines for a personal or family plan. And much of that has to do with making connections with your neighbors and keeping records or lists of who might need to be called at any given time, sort of thing. So there's a lot going into it that is probably common sense anyway and is a strong social connection. But again, we're trying to build those social connections with neighbors and whatnot, and keep social distance at the same time. So I think that's a unique dichotomy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I'm kind of a common sense guy, but as you're sharing that with me, I'm going, wow, how does that really line up with where I am personally, And I think I look forward to reading your story. I look forward to reading all of your stories, Joe.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. I think it will be very insightful. Yeah. We all will be experiencing this differently there, whether you have young kids or whether you have elderly family members or at-risk members of the community, whether they're here or remotely, that you are concerned about. So clearly it would do well for all of us to really examine how to best prepare for this. So
I don't know if you saw Mel Brooks and his son did a piece on coronavirus a day or two ago.
No.
And it's just wonderful. His son comes to his home, and Mel Brooks is almost 100 years old.
Wow.
And goes to the window, and his dad, Mel, stands inside the house and just waves. And the son says, I can't go in, but he knows I care for him, sort of thing. So
yeah,
it's really a wonderful piece.
Huh, that is cool.
Yeah, yeah, look for it, yeah.
It's an evolving landscape, folks. And Joe's email is joe@newstribune.com. I'm sure he would welcome feedback or suggestions of things, how this is affecting you. So, Joe, I appreciate you showing up remotely for this podcast.
You are welcome.
And folks, if you'll stay on for just a moment, I've got a little bit of more information I'd like to share with you.
So listeners, I thought I'd give you a little inside view of how things are going here at the News Tribune. I'm actually talking from a deserted newsroom. It's only myself in the newsroom at this time. It's midday on Thursday. Usually it's teeming with reporters and activity. But because of COVID-19, we've kind of restricted access. We have all of our reporters working at home so that they're safe. They do go out into the community, but they try to exercise good judgment as to where they go and minimize their risk to themselves and others. About noon, our page designers and sports folks come into the newsroom so that we can actually begin the production of the print product that night. We're encouraging folks, our customers who have business with the News Tribune, whether it's an advertisement they want to place or they're having an issue with their newspaper delivery, to try to reach us by phone or email. Those details of how to reach us are going to be attached to the notes of this podcast. I want to share some of the ways that we're trying to cover the community's response to the COVID-19 threat. On our website, we've created some general announcement pages where cancellations and announcements from businesses and government are being listed. We're updating the site regularly through the day with information, both locally and regionally, as it comes into us. If you have a print subscription, I'd encourage you to activate your digital subscription so that you can stay up to date as we update our news report throughout the day. If you've signaled that you want push notifications through your phone, you'll get those from us, as well as any breaking news or things as they happen. From a coverage standpoint, we've pulled all of our coronavirus stories from behind our paywall. We see that as a public service so that you can be engaged and make informed decisions for yourself and for your family. At times like this, information is vital to the public safety. To that end, our mission is to provide that information to you. For us, it's a 365-day mission. I'd encourage you to consider subscribing to the News Tribune to help us fulfill that mission. You're not only investing in your community newspaper, but in your community itself. As always, we do welcome your story ideas or questions. You can send them to news@newstribune.com. You can reach me personally at gary@newstribune.com. Be safe, be informed, and wash your hands.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.